Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerf Right Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 224 of Nerd Pride Radio.
224? Because that's all the episodes the man'd give me.
No, no. 224. 224 is a rare classification of locomotive steam engine in the white notation of the early 20th century. Now, the white notation... Here's the thing. They classified steam engines by three numbers. First, the number of leading wheels you had ahead of the drive, and then the number of drive wheels you had, and then the number of trailing wheels you had. So in a 2-2-4, you would have two leading wheels and then two giant drive wheels right behind them, and then four trailing wheels on this locomotive, which was apparently an unusual setup for a steam engine. More interesting to me was the fact that white notation, there were lots of different notations on how to... determine types of steam engines back then, and every other system in the world counted the number of axles, except the American system, because, once again, we gotta be stupid about everything. So we counted wheels when everyone else counted axles. So, there you go. 224. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How are you doing today?
Well, I am great, Noah. I'm sorry. I am awesome! Sorry, I was surprised to hear Noah pipe in. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comic nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio. This is a place I go every week to have around about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore.
I'm sorry.
I realized right about the third eye that, oh shoot, Aiden's supposed to be part of this. I should really rewrite these. Maybe I should even let you do the intro sometimes. You think?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it won't happen. Oh. All right. My co-host this week.
What would you offer then?
Because I'm mean. My co-host this week is Ged, because with Ursula Le Guin passing away recently, I've decided it's time to read The Wizard of Earthsea. I've read lots of Le Guin stuff and I love it, but I've just never read The Wizard of Earthsea. And so I'm excited. I hear that the early stuff is different and it evolves over time as her sensibilities evolved, and I'm really looking forward to it. The first book I'm only about four chapters in, but it's really good so far, so I'm enjoying. Anyway, straight into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me and Aiden when we talk about whatever's been on our minds for the last week. If something strikes us as interesting during the course of our busy, busy week, we add it to our master list. Well, only I add it to the master list. I give you access to the master list. You never
no,
do anything
don't.
With it. Like, I might have, you wouldn't know.
I've asked you repeatedly to send me the link.
You wouldn't know. All right. And then I pretend I did. And then the best the best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. Actually, the problem with giving you the link to the master list is I then would have to come up with another to-do list, because the master list has all of the topics for the podcast at the top of it. And then some stuff that I just don't want to forget about, that maybe it's podcast or forum related, maybe.
Do you need help? Because I can show you how to make another Google Doc.
And then I know, but this one's, I'm running out of room.
There's just a little button.
Let me show you on my phone, on my main screen on my phone. Look at this. It's full. And so I have the menu, I have my shopping list, and then I have the master list. If I created yet another doc, I don't have a spot on the front page to link that, because it's already full.
Or you could move all your docs to a second page.
But then I would have to flip. No, then I would have to flip pages to get to them. I don't want to do that. I like them right. I like them. No, these pages are already full. See?
Why would you run your phone like that?
Because I'm organized.
You could just create a new page right there.
But that's where my calendar goes.
Right, but you could have something between your calendar and your home screen.
I don't see why this is so difficult for you.
I don't know why this is so difficult for you.
Maybe if I give you the link, you'll just do some stuff with some of the stuff off my to-do list.
No.
Yeah, see, that would happen. All right, cool. First thing up is the science corner.
Oh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. All right, we're going to talk about self-driving cars this week.
Oh yeah. I've heard they've been making strides recently.
Yes, because someone died.
Wait, what?
Yeah. See, someone got run over and killed by a self-driving car. And I don't even remember what state it was in, but it was a self-driving Uber, and it was a Volvo, in fact, a self-driving Volvo that was part of the Uber fleet, and it ran into a woman in the middle of an intersection and killed her. And the article I read goes on about how Volvo is insuring us. I mean, this is the big headline. Volvo says, hey, our sensors detected that woman way ahead of time. Basically, don't sue us. It wasn't us. But for some reason, even though the sensors supposedly detected everything well ahead of time, you can see it on the camera, that everything, she was clearly visible. She's right there in front of it. And yet somehow the driving software did not make the choice to hit the brakes or swerve or do anything. It just drove right through her. And so this is people trying to avoid lawsuits, and this is people trying to slow down self-driving car development as a result of this, which, hey, look, if someone's going to get killed, all right, yeah, let's be a little more cautious. Let's work things out. But here's the thing is that article, as much as it went on and on about how and why the self-driving software could have gotten to the point of accidentally killing someone, what they don't mention is that the car had a driver. The car had a driver sitting behind the wheel. Like, they were there in position, had their, supposedly, were supposed to be on the controls, ready to go. And when they saw that the car wasn't reacting, then they should have tapped their brake to disengage the self-driving feature and then just taken over and swerved. All they had to do was turn the wheel. And yet, the person there was apparently lulled into a false confidence by the self-driving software and thus wasn't even paying attention.
He was hypnotized by the magic of the future.
Don't assume gender. It could have been a woman. You have no idea.
Are you just assuming that all women are bad drivers?
I'm saying all female self-driving cars are bad drivers. That's what I'm saying.
Did you just assume the car's gender?
Dummy. All right. The point is that, yes, the self-driving software screwed up and someone wound up dying as a result of the self-driving car failing, but the laws stated that to have a self-driving car out there, we know that they are not fully tested yet. We're not sure how safe they really are. Therefore, the laws require that there has to be a driver behind the wheel. There has to be a driver behind the wheel ready to take over at all times in case something goes wrong.
Wait, we have laws for this already?
Yes. And therefore, they didn't do that. I mean, the law said that somebody had to be there watching. This person was watching, and if you look at the video, it's very clear that they should have had plenty of time. So, I mean, yes, we need to figure out what happened with the software. But, I mean, really, technically the person at fault is the person behind the wheel. And if that means that it's Uber's fault and you want to blame Uber, you can, although I'm sure Uber is safe from this because, well, all of their drivers are contract drivers. I don't know how this all ties together. I don't know who's going to be ultimately responsible for this. But come on. Yeah, I know. The self-driving software is screwed up. Well, that's why we still have laws to protect this. This is why we still are in testing phases. This wasn't like we just let the car loose and suddenly it turned on us. It's still learning. And I'm surprised that nobody, when they report this, is emphasizing that fact. That, hey, this is still a part of the learning process.
That doesn't make a good headline. Guy crashes car. It's
right. Well, and ultimately, look, once we get to the bottom of all of this and we start moving forward, the real thing is that, hey, how many people die every day in regular car accidents?
Right, exactly. That's what I was thinking to myself.
People die every day in regular car accidents, and somehow we're just okay with that as the price of having cars. Is that, well, yeah, you know what? Well, bunch of people are going to die. That's just what happens.
Suddenly when a robot does it.
But now when a robot does it, and this is, I'm getting this, Trevor Noah covered this in one of his Between the Scenes segments.
I mean, for me.
On YouTube. But once a robot does it, we all panic. But when we get done, the real issue is how many people die per mile driven by human beings, and how many people die per mile driven by self-driving cars. And if self-driving cars have a better driving record, then okay, we're doing the right thing. We're on the right track. I mean, accidents are going to happen, but hopefully the end result of all of this is that everything is safer. You know? That's our ultimate goal. I mean, if it's not, clearly we need to turn back and start over, but hopefully that's ultimately where we're going, and I hope people don't lose sight of that in all of this, headline furor over, oh, robot kills man, you know, or in this case, robot kills woman. But
robot bites man.
There you go. Robot bites man. That would have been the right one. See, thank you for saving me from a Treppenwitz there. Hey, speaking of Treppenwitz, it's that time. And this is again where I'll be inserting some music once you listeners help me out and give me some sort of suggestion, because I am still lost.
Do you realize that the last time you asked them to give you a name for literally anything, they didn't, and so we just ended up calling the segment Listener Betrayal?
I know. But this time, I have faith that, look, among my listeners, there's even some musicians out there. Right, Dave? See?
are you trying to peer pressure Dave into writing you music?
I'm just saying he could, you know, he's maybe a nice cello piece. Who knows? So anyway, now we imagine music, and now Treppenwitz music is done. Boom. Hey, you ever think of that perfect line or comeback, but by the time you do, it's way too late? Yeah, that's Treppenwitz. And when that happens to us, we have a podcast that lets us take a mulligan on it, and we get a do-over. So, from last week, we talked about, magic houses in the American, magic school from the Harry Potter universe, and specifically the Puckwudgie House. Go ahead and read me the description of the Puckwudgie House again, and then I'll re-enter with what I should have said.
The Puckwudgie is a short, gray animal with comically large ears, native to America. It's best known for being fiercely independent, mischievous, and not overly friendly to non-magical creatures. The Beast, which is a distant relative of the European Goblin, which some might remember ran Gringotts and Diagon Alley, uses poisonous arrows to hunt. The Puckwudgie House was named by James Stewart, one of the last founding members to join the pack, and was only crowned as the official symbol of the house because Stewart realized that the rest of the founders were using magical creatures, and he thought the Puckwudgie was hilarious.
Okay, it's an intelligent creature. You can't go using an intelligent creature as your mascot? What is wrong with you? Like
pirates?
Right. Okay, well,
The Redskins.
Right, the Redskins. How much furor do we have? That's twice I've used the word furor in this episode. Apparently it's my word of the week. How much outrage do we have over using...
No, don't worry. You can use it. It's all right.
Over using Native American terms and names and identifiers as mascots for our sports teams. That's crazy. And yet, oh, it's okay for this guy to use the Puckwudgie because what? He's magical? Wizards are allowed to be bigots? Is that what we're doing?
The word muggle is a thing.
And specifically, he picked them as his symbol because he thought they were hilarious. He was intentionally mocking them by making them the symbol of his house. What an ass. I do not approve. That's how that should have gone. Okay, see, now we're done with Treppenwitz. All right. Now it's time. Oh, this is going to be a short episode, by the way, because we only got one more segment. We're just about done. So now it's time for a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, but you are very, very close. We're talking about MoviePass this week. MoviePass, which I obviously love and which they have not yet given me a sponsorship, but I'm sure it will come about any day now.
They don't need your sponsorship.
Yeah, well, I need their sponsorship. That's what I'm saying. I would love.
What incentive could they give you? I mean, you already have free movies.
No, I want them to give me a free subscription to go get my free movies. And in return, I will keep plugging them every week because I love MoviePass.
I mean, wouldn't you need, like, regular listeners for a sponsorship like that?
Okay, so I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. Now, MoviePass, it turns out that I've been wondering since the beginning how MoviePass actually makes money. And as it turns out, they don't. Like, I thought maybe they had cut some deals with movie studios because most of your ticket sales at the theater, most of your ticket sale price actually goes back to the movie studios.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, the theaters then rely on concessions to make most of their money, the lion's share of their money. And so I thought for sure that,
you're just full of those new phrases and words today, huh?
Yeah, I've used lion's share on the podcast before, too. But anyway, so I was positive that they were getting some kind of cut from movie studios that allowed them to do this.
In the beginning, weren't they just hemorrhaging money from themselves?
No, they're still hemorrhaging money. That's the whole point, is there's no deal with anybody. None. It's literally, you pay them $9.99 a month, and then they will pay for up to one ticket a day for you all the time. And if you go to more than two movies a month, that means they are losing money. They are just spending money willy-nilly to send you guys to the movies. That's it. That's the entire business plan, is they lose a bunch of money. And so I finally found out this week how they're going to make money. And when I brought it up, my wife said, yeah, of course. I think I told you that. She might have. I don't listen sometimes. So it turns out... yeah, oh, she's listening now. All right. So anyway, it turns out that there's several ways that they can make money. They are making a little bit of money, as their CEO famously was caught saying that they're selling our information, which yeah, I'm sure they are selling our information, but...
Right. Like everyone sells our information.
Right. And they're claiming it's anonymized, and there's not, and if you look into it, they don't have enough information to actually make it worthwhile. They've got 1.5 million subscribers. They've got very limited information simply about movie habits and possibly locations and this kind of stuff. They don't have a whole lot to sell yet, but they do have that potential. They also do have some ads on their app so that they can push certain movies. And they have actually, they've got numbers that show that right now, about 3% of all ticket sales for all movies are going through MoviePass. Just 3%. But if it's a movie that they are advertising at the top of their app, they say that bumps up to 10% of movie sales for that movie.
Oh, okay.
Which means that their advertising works and guides people towards movies.
Okay. That still doesn't make up for
right.
the money they're spending on
and
tickets.
And the ad revenue that they're getting still does not anywhere come close to this. They have some investments that they're doing. They have a MoviePass investment corporation that invests in independent movies because, well, they have a bunch of information about what movies appeal to their...
Okay, that sounds like it's more spending money than
right.
it is making money.
Right. And that's one that is, that's speculative right now. And if they make money off of that, it'll actually be on the back end where they'll make money off of the streaming services and the video merchandising, et cetera, et cetera. No.
Okay, Mike, listen.
Call me Mike.
You gotta stop.
Call me dude.
Gotta stop blueballing us. Just tell us how they're making money.
Okay, so the real way that they're going to make money is they've got numbers that say, look, when people use MoviePass to go to a movie theater, they spend on average $13 per person on concessions. For every MoviePass ticket sold, they're spending, or MoviePass ticket used, they're spending $13 on concessions right now. And $13 is above average. So when people have a MoviePass, since they feel like they're getting their movie ticket for free, they feel comfortable spending more money on concessions. And so MoviePass is going to start, making the push to say, hey, look, we're driving business to your theaters. You're getting more ticket sales than you would have otherwise. And when they get there, they're spending more on concessions than they would have otherwise. And thus, hey, if you like this whole MoviePass thing and you'd like us to keep driving people to your theaters, maybe we need a little cut of that concession sales. Maybe you need to start cutting us a contract and paying us on the reg, and we will continue sending people your way.
That doesn't sound like a corporation. That sounds like a mafia.
I know. I know. And... I'm so impressed by the whole concept because if he gets to, I mean, like I say, they are losing money like crazy. Like at this rate, if they can't get contracts worked out, like they could be out of money by August. Like, they'll be completely broke and have to shut down MoviePass before the end of the year. So they need to hope that they can get this brokered before they run out of cash. And the idea is they're at 1.5 million, almost 2 million now. And the magic number sounds like it's 5 million. Once they've got 5 million subscribers, then they have the clout to say, okay, look, we can't keep losing money. We've built up our subscriber base, but we can't keep losing money. So if you're willing to participate and play ball with us, then we'll continue sending MoviePass subscribers to your theater. But if we can't cut a contract with you, AMC, then, you know, then we'll just have to display you as not accepting MoviePass. And so, especially in big towns where they have a choice of theaters, MoviePass subscribers are going to drive right past AMC and go to some other cinema.
So in our podunk middle of nowhere, we're pretty much safe from the movie mafia.
Right. I'm hoping that we don't get cut out entirely because CEC, I mean, it's a tiny little 7-theater chain, and they don't have, in their locations, they don't have competition. There's no one else
right.
that's competing with a CEC
theater.
That's why theater.
CECs exist.
And, well, exactly. And therefore, they have no reason to cut a deal with MoviePass, because if they tell MoviePass no, it's not like you and I have anywhere else to go to a movie. So, you know, they understand that they have no competition. So, okay, MoviePass, you're going to pull out? People are still going to come here because it's the only theater they got.
Right.
And so I'm hoping I'm hoping we're just tiny so we get overlooked and they just keep letting us go.
And also, even if CEC does make a deal with MoviePass, like, it's not like MoviePass can drive other people here because
right.
we're the only...
Yeah, it's just a constant. So we'll see how that one works out. I hope we wind up... I hope... If MoviePass does succeed and continues to be an ongoing thing, then I hope that we are included in that wave of the future and that we continue to get to have these awesome movies at ridiculously cheap prices. But
obscenely.
You know, yes, I mean really ridiculously cheap prices. And
I mean, I only say obscenely because, again, the company doing it is bankrupting themselves.
And the... thing is, like, AMC is the big one. That's their big fight. Mm-hmm. Like, of the big three, in the nation, I can't remember, I didn't write them all down. AMC
Marcus,
is the one.
AMC and...
Yeah, I don't know. It is AMC that's given them the most trouble. AMC has tried coming up with its own subscription plan, that if you want to have a subscription to AMC theaters, then you can come in and see, you know, like MoviePass, then, you know, you can get your subscription and come see cheap movies or free movies based on your subscription. And, you know, and it includes concessions with it. And it's got all sorts of, you know, they can do all sorts of things with a subscription there. But, again, it's limited because it means you can only go to that, you know, your one local AMC mm-hmm. theater for your area. And it's not...
Gosh, could you imagine if MoviePass covered the Majestic?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, if we want to go to Omaha and go to the Marcus, yeah.
But...
Yeah, we can go see movies there. The only thing we can't see is we can't see 3D movies. They won't pay for the upgrade to 3D, but they'll pay for everything else, so I don't know. Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I would rather not see a 3D movie if I had the choice anyhow, so we're all good. But yeah, to me, the whole thing is, I am just so impressed that this guy, his name is Mitch, where is it? Mitch Lowe. He's the CEO of MoviePass. He was the one that made the silly statement
that doesn't sound like a name. That sounds like a Street Fighter move.
Right. Mitch Lowe. It's the whole thing is his baby. It was his concept. And the idea that, yeah, here's what we're going to do is we're going to create a movie subscription service. Well, how are you going to pay for that? That we're not. That's the magic. We're going to lose money for 2 years. We're going to lose money millions and millions of dollars. Yeah, exactly. Our plan is to lose tens of millions, possibly hundreds of millions of your dollars. And then, just when all looks like it's lost, we'll force people to give us their money.
Ironically?
We will force movie theaters to give us their money and make us profitable.
Ironically, this would make a real good Moneyball-esque movie.
It really would. Movie executives... Is it creepy guy? You mean Zach? Is it Zach and Eli? Zach.
When did Zach
Zach is Eli's friend. We've been sitting around here. We're at school, all of us. And Noah's over there messing around on the computer. And Aiden and I are setting up the podcast. We were asking them if they wanted to join us. And Eli's like, I don't know. And so he sent a text message to all of his friends and said, I'm bored. I'm at the school and I'm bored. Someone save me. And so Zach, like within seconds, posted up, I'm coming, fam, and came running over here. And so now they're out in the hallway.
Hearing fam come out of your mouth is gross.
Oh, come on. I can say lit fam, right? All right.
Been awoke.
That's right. So anyway, I'm just impressed with the whole movie pass lineup. And yeah, movie theaters, movie studios. Seriously, if you want a great film about film, do the movie pass story. Especially, well, I mean, give it a little time, but especially if they're successful. If they wind up getting away with this, well, you know what, even if they don't, even if they wind up, they make their last minute bid and it looks like, you know, everything's riding on this one, and then they finally fail and then they all go bankrupt and it crumbles, that could still be a great movie. Either one of those.
But we have to go with the hipster tale, just call it Pass.
Nice. So, there you go. Then, that's Movie Pass. All right. We're all done. Guess what it's time for?
Is it time for the Pod-O-Matic. Pod-O-Matic.
There, you went too long. Hot dog, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, we are two in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble. He rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that's where you guys come in. Seriously, if you want to hear me and Aiden haver on about anything, you send your question or topic to us by email or, better yet, in a private message on my forums. I will add it to the Pod-O-Matic list because Pod-O-Matic
is about whatever you want it to be.
And our first number is number 2. And 2, hold on, I got to pull the list up. Oh.
Yes, that is a 2.
Yes. And 2 is from Mrs. Darks. And Mrs. Darks asks, toe socks and or Vibram shoes, cool or hella creepy?
Vibram shoes, creepy, toe socks, cool.
What are Vibram shoes?
Toe shoes, I believe.
Oh, it's just toe shoes? Oh,
I believe. I can just Google it. Like, give me a second.
Mom's toe sandals?
I think so. Let me Google Vibram shoes.
All right, you Google Vibram shoes and I'll talk about them. Actually, cool. I like toe socks. I don't mind wearing toe socks. I don't usually. I don't even think I own any that fit me right now.
But Hobbit
ones. Oh, that's right. I have Hobbit ones with hair on the top.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's the Vibram shoes.
I think the toe socks are fine because either when you're wearing them, they're in the comfort of your own house or under your shoes.
Yeah.
You don't wear things with toes in public. It's just weird.
See, there's no, to me, it doesn't bother me at all.
You might as well be barefoot.
The shoes, I could care less one way or another. There's nothing particularly cool or upsetting about the shoes. Socks, though, I dig the socks.
Yes.
And again,
they're super comfy.
When I've had them and worn them myself, yeah, I like them. I like them a lot. But even better than that, my wife wears them and I think they are super cute on her. I like her in toe socks. I don't have
Gross.
And the weird thing is, it's not like I have a foot thing or anything like that.
That's not what they all say.
I could tell you a story about somebody, but I'm not gonna because it would be inappropriate on the podcast. But I'm not one of those guys. I don't have a thing about feet at all. But I do think toe socks are really, really cute, especially in bright colors. I like colorful socks and I like colorful toe socks. I think they're cute. I don't have a problem with them at all. So I can see why some people find them creepy and disturbing. My mother-in-law, my wife's mom, she hates the idea of toe socks. It's like she certainly would never wear them herself, but even just seeing them on other people creeps her out because it disturbs
looks like
her.
A foot, but it's not.
It disturbs her to think about having stuff like that between her toes, and it bothers her that badly to see it on other people. So I get why it's upsetting, but
don't actually pause.
Okay, what?
So Google here is telling me that for better and quicker search results, I should turn on my location. How does that help them give me a better internet connection?
Oh, it doesn't. To get you better results, they think you might be shopping for something, and they can give you stores that are closer to your location or more appropriate to you.
Well, great. Now,
Or at least they can give you better.
Google thinks I want Vibram shoes.
They can give you better ads. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm not turning on location.
Okay.
All right, that's 59.
59.
Dude.
So close
59,
to dude.
59, guy.
So 59 is also from Mrs. Darks. And she says, do you prefer Siri or Alexa?
I prefer Siri because A, she's had more time to learn, and B, she has more personality. So why am I so far from the mic? You got a better mic just for this, and it's, there we go.
Yeah.
Better.
There. Now it's in between us. Yeah, actually, I prefer Alexa only because Alexa is a thing I could be getting. I don't do Apple products myself, and I don't really know either one. I've never used.
You should hang out with one of them. They're nice people.
Yeah, I've never used any of them. I'm not going to get one of the Amazon devices in my home. I don't. As much as I get the appeal, I don't have a problem with typing my questions, and I am disturbed by the idea of having a device in your home that is literally always on, always listening, and always recording what you say. It records everything. That's disturbing to me. And yes, they've got all sorts of assurances about how our privacy is protected and how most of this data isn't actually kept, and the stuff that is kept is anonymized where it's appropriate. And yeah, they tell us all of that, but I don't like having a device in my house always listening.
Yes,
that
Ma.
Just kills me. Yes, Lisa. Oh, sorry. I paused and I shouldn't have. She said, look how hard it is to delete Facebook. Yeah. My dad had to call me this morning and say, all right, you've got to help me. I feel like an idiot. How do I delete Facebook? And it turns out he actually had the right process. He knew what he was doing.
No. He wasn't asking how to delete his account. He wanted to delete the entire website.
And, all right, first, Dad, you're going to need some explosives. And
you're going to need to find the servers.
He actually had the right process. He knew he found the right instructions. But when he got to the part where it has to verify your identity, there's a CAPTCHA there. And the CAPTCHA picture would not show up. It just kept giving him an X that there was no picture being delivered. So every time he went there, every time he refreshed, he got no picture. So he had nothing to enter and he couldn't go through. And so finally I guided him to the audio CAPTCHA, which he says he had tried before. Oh, well, that one actually downloads and then you have to go find where it downloaded and open it up in a different app. And it was just very complicated and difficult. So once I finally got him through that, yeah, deleting your Facebook profile, or deleting your Facebook account completely, like totally getting rid of it. You have to hunt for it because they're not going to make it obvious. And then when you get there, it says, well, how about we just deactivate your account? I mean, seriously. You don't really need to delete, right? And so then, you know, after several tries, it finally gives up and says, okay, well, if you want to delete it, here you go. And so you go through the whole process of deleting while it's trying to explain to you why you really don't want to do that. And then you delete it, and it says, okay, there, we've deactivated your account. Now, if you don't try and log into it for the next 2 weeks, then we'll actually delete it for real after that one. So they are doing everything in their power to make sure that you don't delete
your
account.
It's sort of like when you find a virus on your computer and you go to delete it. And it's like, okay, go to this website. And it's like a GIF of a puppy playing in a field. It's like, well, are you sure you want to delete me?
Well, and here's the thing is I told my dad, I'm like, all right, first get your phone. Get your phone and remove your Facebook app from your phone. Do I have to do that first? Can I just do that later? I'm like, no, because Facebook on your phone is always connected to stuff. It's always talking. And I just have this feeling that you're going to deactivate your account here. You're going to delete it. It's going to go into deactivate mode. But then because your phone goes ahead and connects automatically, it thinks you've logged in. And okay, well, now you're back. And I said, just do that one first. I'm sure there's also this roundabout stuff that, I mean, seriously, imagine you've deleted your account, but then you open up a device you don't normally use. And it's like, it makes an automatic connection to Facebook. And oh, now it's back. So, oh, so tough to get out of there. So yeah, I just, I'm not thrilled with the idea of having listening devices recording me all the time, so no.
Okay, wait, hold on. You're uncomfortable being recorded?
Yes. Shut up.
Hearing personal things in your life?
Okay, now it's 69, dude. 69 is from Ronster. Ronster says, Aiden, what is your favorite victory?
My greatest
victory. Oh, your
victory.
Greatest victory. What is your greatest victory, Aiden? All right. My greatest victory was scoring my first point in God Ball. That was my greatest victory. How about you?
My greatest victory would probably be beating the main story of Horizon Zero Dawn New Game Plus on Ultra Hard difficulty.
I thought it was when you finally beat Bedwetting.
That game was terrible.
Oh, I had more jokes, but I guess they're not needed now. 38. 38 is from Ronster again. Hey, Ron. Ron says, toward what need would you allocate more of the country's budget, and where would you get that money from, and why? All right. I would allocate more money to education. I would allocate more money to ensuring that everyone had affordable health care in this nation. I'm sure I have a whole list of things. But education is one of the first ones. And I mean, because again, as I've talked about before, I want to ensure that all the schools in this country, all the kids that we have going to public school, actually have an equal opportunity. They all have an equal access to resources, no matter what school they're going to and what area of the country they're in. And that is a difficult thing because we are far from that right now. And I would love that. That would be my number one priority. Now, where am I going to get that money? I would get it from the $1 trillion tax cut that we just instituted. I would roll that back and say, let's just go back to what we had 6 months ago. And let's just take back whatever was there. And first, let's start with fully funding educational services in this country. And then see what's left over for a tax cut. Or maybe some other stuff. Maybe we don't need a tax cut. We'll see. But that's where I would start. So.
You know what? You know what I would do? I would take the tax cut and then also cut all other funds in half. And pool all that money into genetic research to creating real life Pokemon. I think we all deserve
point. You know what? If you're going to do that, you can get the money from all of our military spending, because once we have real life Pokemon, who needs a military? We are set.
Yeah.
That's a great answer. 76.
I don't care if it's an affront to God. Just get it done.
I mean, seriously, I need a Raichu, and I need it now.
I'm surprised you know what a Raichu is.
Of course, it's the evolved... the evolved form of Bulbasaur, right?
God, I hate you.
So anyway, 76. You'll have to repeat that joke.
My mom just said no. It's the opposite of a wrong chew.
Terrible. Number 76 is from Eliahad. Eliahad says, "Quick, create a Pathfinder character using only the objects you can currently reach as inspiration. The internet is not an object that you can currently reach, as it is ineffable and unknowable." All right. Oh, we have a Monster energy drink and a calculator. What are you going to do?
Why are you asking me?
You've played Pathfinder because you get upset when I dominate the conversations, and so I'd like to turn some of these easy questions over to you so you can feel like you're participating.
I mean, you could also reach... Oh, no, okay, I got it. Okay, so Monster... I'm thinking half-orc, maybe.
Okay.
And then maybe a half-orc bard because of the mic here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe some wings.
Not bad. Not bad. I was actually with the calculator. I was going to go with some kind of wizard that's into mathomancy calculations. But mathomancy is actually from the Earthworld comic.
No. You need to be a fighter who's into mathematics and be a mathlete.
Oh, that's even better. Hey, speaking of which, not necessarily mathlete, but academic decathlon, DM Darks, Pat, runs the competitive academic team from his school, whose name I completely forget. But there is a link, if you go to nerdprideradio.com/nerds, that's our forums, and you roll down to the towards the bottom of the page under Nerd Love, The first thread under Nerd Love is talking about sending his team to nationals because they actually won state. They qualified for nationals and they need to go compete. And it is an expensive proposition and they need money and they would like people to help contribute to that. So if you guys are into it, seriously, go check it out. It is on the forums, nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Roll down to Nerd Love and look for the link to Pat's team there and see how you can help them out because that would be awesome for them. So, no kidding.
All right. One more. 71.
71. It's from Zimny. Hey, we haven't heard from anyone Swedish in a while. Zimny says, how big was the largest puzzle you've ever completed? It covered all of Gen Con.
Oh, yeah.
And we've actually completed it several times. Oh, my God, they're not doing the puzzles this year.
Yeah, I know.
I am so sad.
Yeah, hey, look, I know something ahead of time for once.
I was just in shock that, yeah, it's just the people behind the puzzles.
The same three guys keep winning it every year, I mean.
They have the people that do the puzzles have a... they have other projects that they're focusing on, and so therefore things that they're bringing to Gen Con and thus don't have time to put together the whole puzzle competition anymore, which is too bad because that was so much fun. It was one of our favorite parts of the con every year, and now it will be gone. And plus, it's harder to do when Gen Con keeps getting larger. I mean, there were 50,000 people last year. They're probably looking for more ways to expand this year, which means it's getting more and more crowded and it's harder to fit things in. And so they decided to let it go, which is a shame.
I mean,
so.
just do Comic-Con and just not just one massive convention building, but like three.
But I am sure, to answer your question in more conventional terms, I am sure that I have solved a traditional jigsaw puzzle of 2,000 pieces or 2,500 pieces with my family. My family used to do puzzles every once in a while
when
I was growing up. Not this family here, but my family before I got married. Go ahead.
When you said conventional, I was thinking, or maybe conventional.
I know. Darn it. I should have caught that myself. But when I was growing up, we occasionally did puzzles at home, and I was never terribly good at them. I just didn't have the patience for it. I would put together like 7 or 8 pieces, and then I'd wander away. And then I'd come back, and I'd put in 3 or 4 more. And I'm sure, as a family, with my parents doing the most of the work. I was about to say lion's share again, but you know, you made fun of me. So
I will continue until it's not funny.
With my parents doing most of the work on those, I'm sure we did puzzles of up to 2,000 or 2,500 pieces, but me personally, on my own, I don't know, I can't think of any jigsaw puzzle I've ever created or I've ever finished on my own that was more than like 500 pieces, because that's just, again... My ADHD does not allow
that. You're really quiet on the mic. Maybe you should get closer, huh?
You think I should?
Yeah, just maybe a little.
Okay. And then that is the end of the... God,
12.
Darn it. All right, 12. One more. 12 is from... It's from Ronster. All right, Ron. And Ron says...
Wow, is this Ron's first one?
No.
Oh, no. He had the other one. He had the other one.
Ron says, choose your death date.
Oh, that's easy. I'm going to choose April 25th of 1,800,000.
Oh, darn it.
1,822,458.
I was going to say like, May 15th of 3,112. Something like that. Yes. Look, if I get to choose my death date, oh, I've got at least 1,000 years coming to me. So,
I can pick any time during 2012 so I don't graduate and just die.
If it has to be a date within one lifetime, I'm going to choose now.
Oh.
1,000 years if after 100 you are miserable and
Well, no. Because what the implication is if I'm going to live 1,000 years, I'm not going to like just continue getting older and more decrepit the whole time. Well, I will get older, but my body is not going to keep deteriorating. What that means is that somewhere around my 60s or 70s, we come up with some sort of miracle technology that allows me to feel young and healthy and vibrant for the next 1,000 years.
Or just download it into a computer.
So.
That will eventually, in 1,000 years, have a fatal error. And right. You'll get wiped.
Oh, terrible. Okay.
And I wonder if that's painful.
That was really the end. So here is GLaDOS. She's going to give us a recap of what we've done so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, and my bumper music this week was just She Blinded Me with Science as performed by William Shatner. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget, if you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and write me a nice review because those things make a difference. Oh, no. Doesn't matter about the review, seriously. You write a crappy review. It's the 5 stars that make a difference, so do that. If you really want to do something nice for this podcast, so recommend it to your friends, because if you're enjoying it, spread the word. Let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. I am really stumbling on these credits today. I should let you do them.
Yeah,
remember,
you should.
Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. If you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. Oh, my contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message. We will hang out together and become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. What he said. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before we start recording any podcast, we go out to the internet and we put out on Facebook and on my forums and, well, Aiden's got his own private message list that he sends out to. And we say, guys, we are recording. Anything you want to say, say it now. We'll read it at the end of the podcast, which is what we're doing right here. First out, on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, I said, talk to us. Also, name an awesome character from a crappy TV show. And I got no responses. None. Zero. Zip.
Well,
nada.
You got one
nothing.
Right there. It says done.
Yeah, one from me. It says done. Ah, crap. All right, let's go on over to Facebook, see if anything better happened there. Facebook, I posted up and said, post here to be included in this week's podcast. Also, what is the farthest you have ever been from your current home? Starts with Sarah Beth. And Sarah Beth says, hi, Mike. Happy belated birthday. Oh, thank you. It was my birthday a couple days ago, and it was awesome. Hope it was as awesome as you are. Hey, it was. Thank you. And then she continues, now, tell me something good to help me not listen to the lying asshole that is depression.
Oh my gosh. I was hoping that that sentence would have ended with that
my husband?
Lying asshole that's Nerd Pride Radio.
Oh, no. No, that's terrible. You want something good? Oh man, I usually share all my good news early. I don't even know. Oh, it was just self-driving cars killing people. I guess that's not good. Okay, tell you what. Go out to, let's see. All right, I found it. Go out to YouTube, and the actual title is from the Daily Mail, so it's very British. But, the title of the video is A Baby Laughs Hysterically When His Mum Puts Dummy in Mouth. Okay? It's a mom putting the baby's pacifier in her own mouth and then popping it back out. And this baby, it's just a laughing baby video. That's all it is. But this is a great one. And I love laughing baby videos. I love any laughing baby video. It's so, I don't know. There's something very pure.
'Cause you're basic.
Something so pure about a laughing baby. Something so awesome about it. It's just very cool. And you can't not enjoy that. You really, it's just amazing.
You want to bet?
And
is that a challenge?
And this one is one where, like, it gets to the point where just getting the pacifier near her mouth for the mom, just getting it near the mouth, and then suddenly the baby's just losing it because he knows what's coming, and it's very cool. So
why is it gotta be a he? Why are you assuming the baby's gender?
Amy, can you stop?
Shut up.
Gender jokes?
So anyway,
Dad started it.
So anyway, yeah, I did. Sadly,
dang it, Dad.
If you guys can't hear Noah back there, he's complaining that. that the stop assuming the gender jokes are not getting funny
anymore. Who says it's a joke? Are you just assuming it's a joke?
Oh, God. All right. Anyway, that was Sarah Beth. Let's see. Oh, no, wait. Sarah Beth continues. If I can just... I have to get back to Facebook now. Ah, there it is. She says, the farthest I've been from home is France, and I wish I could go back soon. I have never been to Europe, so I can't. And then, because
you've been to Japan?
The farthest I have been from home is actually Korea. It would have been Japan, but then we stopped over at Korea, which is just a little bit further. So that would be the farthest, unless, oh wait.
You lived in
Japan. No, Japan's like 10,000 miles if we go to the west, so it's not like shorter to go around the other way. Not even close. So yes, in that case, Korea would be the farthest. But then, next, Eric, who I don't think has ever contributed to Listener Betrayal, so good to see you, man. Eric says, Australia. Oh, cool. I would also love to go to Australia. That would be awesome. So, all right, thank you, guys. I appreciate having some feedback. And did anyone reply to you, Aiden?
Yeah, I have severals.
All right.
From
what do you send out to people? What does it say? Do you ask them any questions, or do you just say...
Not yet. It's just the basic, me and my dad are recording a podcast. If you'd like us to say anything on the air, now's your time to tell us.
All right, cool. What do you got?
John says that he just had a hard fanboy moment watching the last episode of Dragon Ball Super. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Okay. Have you ever watched Dragon Ball Super?
Yes, I watch regularly.
Okay.
Is
it really that good?
Yes.
Okay.
Eli seems real done with my bullcrap because he just sent me a really annoyed emoji.
Nice.
My friend Trey says drugs are bad, okay?
All right.
My friend Tim says, give me five famous tweets from dead presidents if Twitter had been around since 1776.
Okay. Five famous tweets from dead presidents if Twitter had been around since the start of our country.
From Abe Lincoln, just Getty's gang, Getty's gang, Getty's gang, Getty's gang.
Nice. What you got, Lisa? Oh, all right. All right, Lisa's was from William Henry Harrison. So, hey, my inauguration's tonight. Don't mind the rain. Come on out. This speech is killer.
It's the biggest inauguration in history.
Longest speech ever. All right.
From President Taft. Stuck in the tub again, LOL. Life is crazy. Crying emoji, crying emoji.
Nice.
I have one. This one is from George Washington. New nation, who dis?
Ooh, I like that one. All right. No, go ahead. You do the next one.
From President Pierce. Does anyone even remember me?
Is that five? Do
yeah,
we have five?
Fine.
See, fine. Sweet. All right, you know what? I should start a thread for this because
that's good.
These are really easy. All right. What do you got next?
It's from Mike.
Hey, it's from Mike. I like that guy. He's awesome.
Hey, have you seen A Wrinkle in Time yet? It's awesome. No, I haven't, because my family feels like purposefully excluding me from things.
Wait, but we went and saw A Wrinkle in Time. Why didn't you go with us? What were you doing?
I was sleeping, because I had a 5 a.m. shift.
Well, why didn't someone wake you up?
I don't know. Why didn't someone wake me up?
Because you had just gotten off at 8 in the morning from work, and you had to go back to work later, and you needed the sleep. And I also knew that if we went to the movie, there was a chance it would run long and it would be too close to your shift, and I felt bad, so I made an executive decision that I would not wake you up, but if you were really upset and wanted to go, I would take you later in the week. Because, you know, movie pass. We can do that. So, but for what it's worth, dude, you missed out. It was awesome. So good.
I remember the original, and I liked that.
Yeah.
I watched it with Mom.
Yeah, she doesn't remember that.
Yeah, no, she doesn't.
Because she probably slept through it.
Yeah.
Like she did with the new one.
She only fell asleep at the very end, after everything was all happy ending and they were saying their goodbyes. She was very tired.
All right.
And then?
From Emily.
Oh, how's Emily?
Share your favorite recipes. Bonus points if they're easy.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Chip beef on toast.
Yes.
Oh, real quick. You have some feedback, actually.
All right. Hold on. First, let me share a recipe.
Okay.
Chip beef on toast. Holy cow. I can't believe we've never made chip beef on toast for these kids because it's super cheap and it's super good. And, Emily, if you're up for making chip beef on toast, literally go out and buy yourself a couple of packages of dried beef, like those little 1 ounce packages that hang there with the lunch meats. And it is, buy 2 packages of that. So there's a couple of bucks. And then, you get yourself the, you just need flour, butter, and pepper. And that's it. Yeah, so flour, butter, pepper, oh, milk. Yeah, obviously you need milk. So if you're making just a small batch, it is, you melt 1/4 cup of butter in the pan, pot, whatever it is you're using to cook, but you melt 1/4 cup of butter in there, and then you slowly mix in, it's 1/4 cup of flour, and then, about 1/2 teaspoon of pepper, all right, and you mix those in slowly, make sure you're stirring everything, and then once you've got those in, slowly whisk in your milk until everything's nice and smooth, your 2 cups of milk. And then you're going to turn the heat up, get it to where it's just starting to boil, all right, and then keep stirring it. And that's the one hard thing about it. You got to stir constantly, otherwise you're gonna scald it. And then once it's boiling, you add in your beef, and then you let the thing simmer for about 5 minutes, and then take it off the heat, and you're done. But again, stir constantly. But it's really super simple. It takes all of about 15 minutes. Darn it. See, I screwed up again. With the dried beef, you're going to have to cut it into little strips first. So take it out and just chop it up first. But then add it into your sauce when you're done. And now you've got cream chip beef. And now get some toast, pour your sauce over it, eat. It's that easy.
Emily
wants super tasty.
Emily
and the kids
also
went
wants
nuts
to know
it.
If she can have an episode titled after her, too. Do something worth talking about, jeez.
Yeah, well, I don't understand. I mean, yeah.
Hold on. She also says, based on last episode's listener betrayal, I'm going to have to, not listener betrayal, but the Walmart nerd rage.
Uh-huh, nerd
rage. I'm going to have to look at Walmart bags more carefully now. Hy-Vee ones don't have a right way. I do feel like you should be using reusable bags anyway to save the environment, though.
Oh!
Who said that?
Emily.
Yeah. Okay, Emily, you got me on that one. Yes, I should probably be using reusable bags, but I'm not. At least I'm going with plastic bags. They're easily recyclable. And yes, I know that there's environmental issues with any sort of disposable bag. I get that. But you know what? It's just what I'm going to do.
Emily, you know we love you.
But the reason you don't get an episode named after you is because I don't think I've ever named an episode after people before, except this one. And, I was too lazy to go back and listen through before I named it and actually come up with a real title. So For Sam just seemed really easy. But, you can ask him if he feels honored. I mean, seriously, ask him if he feels honored and ask him if he's glad that I did that for him. Cause I think he
was really annoyed.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was really just an annoyance because now I said it's not Sam. Sam does not do this. Sam, I'm not blaming you. Very specifically, I said, Sam, I'm not blaming you. And yet still, he's annoyed with me.
Speaking of Sam.
Yeah. Sam's got something.
If I get bit by a hypothetical snake and get hypothetically poisoned, will I hypothetically die? This is all hypothetical, of course.
No. Actually, if you get bitten by a hypothetical snake and you are hypothetically poisoned, you will be hypothetically ill for 6 or 7 hypothetical days, probably with a hypothetical fever.
Granted, that's if you don't have the hypothetical anti-venom.
Right, but here's the thing, it's not like you're out in the Australian outback
the
where you are.
Hypothetical. Australian
yeah,
outback.
Yeah, that's right. It's not like you're out in the hypothetical outback where you are, 300 hypothetical miles from any sort of medical help. No, you live in a city, all right? You live in a city, and even if you drive yourself as far out into the country of the hypothetical country as you want, you're still less than a half-hour drive from medical attention
Let's just say that you're lost in the woods at night and you get bit, well, these hypothetical woods during a hypothetical night. And you get bit by this hypothetical snake.
Well, if he hadn't been so hypothetically drunk, he wouldn't have gotten into that hypothetical situation, would he?
I mean,
I really put this blame on him.
Hypothetically speaking, you're right. Hypothetically.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, hypothetically speaking, he'd be a hypothetical idiot. That's all right.
Are these hypotheticals doing anything for you?
Yeah. All right. No, this is not working for me.
All right.
Is that the end of it?
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Sweet. And hey, look at that. We're done just in time to go to Scouts. We're not going to miss our meeting. All right. So that's it. Say goodnight, Noah. Say goodnight, Lisa.
Goodnight, Lisa.
Say goodnight, Aiden.
Goodnight.
Say goodnight, R2. Oh, I thought I turned him on. There he goes.
18.
You guys are awesome. I appreciate you coming around. Thank you so much. I love you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.